stuff do people talk about when they're...
Oh, absolutely. What they did over the weekend, or something in the funny papers, or just absolutely dullest things you ever could think about. Really not very gripping stuff at all. But in that time, I think it was an escape from the dreadful war that was going on. I think maybe that's what you were trying to escape, thinking about anything too serious. Because what future was there at that time, really? You know, you didn't know what was going to happen, did you? That's much like that today.
In terms of the loggers and the kinds of discussions they have, did they ever sort of indicate that they were holding back on discussions or anything like that because you were around and you were a woman?
Yeah, I think so. Although I heard all the language that you ever want to hear, you know, they didn't, if they got mad or if they got in trouble, they just let go. But they didn't tell crude jokes or anything like that when I was around, and I imagine they did when they were by themselves. But I never... I come up on them unawares that they were talking nastily.
Mm-hmm.
No, I found them very good. Mm-hmm.
Were there any other women that you heard of who were also in the woods?
Yes. After I went working there, there was another man got his daughter in from Duncan, and she was a dandy little whistle punk too. She was really, really good. And she worked on the other side from me. Mm-hmm. There was two sides, and then there got to be three sides. There was another girl came in after two. There was three of us.
Did you meet those women at all?
Oh, sure. We used to have lunch together, right up in the crummy together. They were just young people like myself. They were nice, nice girls.
Yeah. And was there sort of a sense amongst you of breaking new ground in the sense of having those kinds of jobs? Was there any kind of...
No, I never thought about it. No, I guess there must have been eventually, because somebody came out from Vancouver Sun and interviewed us. I have a picture somewhere of us. And it was a silly write-up. But I guess he thought we were doing something different. I know in one of the areas here in Nanaimo, there's a woman that you should have to interview her. She used to drive a logging truck.
Oh, I'd love to talk to her.
Yeah, she drives truck now. Or no, she drives bus in Nanaimo. And I can't remember her name.
Oh.
But you could find her. You would ask, get her phone in Nanaimo with the bus. The city bus. I see her once in a while in town.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Were guys who worked in the woods at that point sort of into the union and the stuff that was going on with the development of the union and the...
No.
In the
no.
So that wasn't a big issue.
Not then. No.
Were you working during the 1946?
No. I had finished then. I was married then.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go back to it?
No. No, I had a little boy. No, I didn't go back. I thought about it lots of times, but I never went back. I don't know whether I would have liked it so much after, because I did some more thinking after, and I found that they, as I said, they weren't thinking, they didn't inspire you, really.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about how a big tree it was and all this, just, but nothing really, not inspiring.
It was very work-oriented?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually rather dumb kind of conversation, just nothing.
Was your husband a logger?
Just for a little while. Mm-hmm. He didn't like it.
That's how you met him?
Yes. Well, I met him before that, but he came to work up in the woods then too, and it was very nice, but he didn't, I guess he found it wasn't his kind of work either, and he didn't like the, he went fishing. I went fishing too, as a matter of fact.
You worked commercially, isn't it?
Just for a little while, yeah.
Can you talk about that? That's interesting.
Yeah, that's not very long ago, as a matter of fact. My husband phoned down and he said, our cook's quit on the boat up here. Would you like to go fishing for a little while? And I said, sure, because I always like to do stuff like that. So I had to join the Fishermen's Union then.
Mm-hmm.
And we went fishing out of Gold River, and we went fishing humpies. And oh my goodness, did I ever like that. And there was three other Indians and my husband and I on the fish boat. And I like those Indian people, too, because you never talked unless you had something to say. And you just sit there in comfortable silence. It's lovely. But you had to work like heck. And I had to work, I was a cook. But the cook, this is just a small seine boat. The cook snapped the rings. Old fishermen will know what that means, because you had to snap the rings to let the net go out. Then you had to plunge, which was like a plunger in the toilet plunger, only a big long handle, and you had to pound the water so that the fish would stay away from the opening of the net, you see, while you were closing or pursing up. Then I have to jump in the skiff with all his rubber clothes in and rubber boots, and I'm not a small person. I could just see myself as every time I jumped, it was going straight through the bottom to the of the boat. And then I have to stay out there and try and hold the net away. Oh, dear. It was really good, and we used to we were catching the chums, but every once in a while in the net, we would get these great big tahi. And if they weren't drowned, we had to let them go. Well, that's lots of fun to catch a great big 40 or 50-pound salmon and let it go out of the net. And all the sportsmen were sitting around just crying to watch these big fish going out. That was kind of neat. I made quite good money.
Were there other women who were fishing?
Oh, sure, there's lots of women fish.
Mm-hmm. Are they mostly Native women?
Yes. I think there's a lot of women go out with their husbands on the boats, too, especially on the... I can't remember what they call it. Just on the boats that have line fishing boats. I don't know what you. I can't.
Trollers.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I know there's lots of the Native women go herring fishing too.
Yeah, it's I think more traditional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any. It was interesting to be on an Indian fish boat.
Why was that?
Because my husband was on this boat with the Indian chap. In fact, my husband's a member of the Native Brotherhood's union right now. But it was amazing that they would take me, wasn't it? I had to sleep down the hold with them all and everything. Ha ha, it was lovely. Yeah, pretty gentle.
Is your husband part Native?
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, just got a good Indian friend. We try to have no feelings of any kind of, we're all people.
Right. It's just interesting because I didn't know that you could be a member of the Brotherhood.
No, I didn't either, without being a Native. Because he just got a letter, if you want to, it's right, it's sitting right there somewhere, to pay his dues to the Native Brotherhood.
Are there any other incidents in the woods that
I can tell you about?
What kind of... in the woods? Was it high pressure work?
Some of the, you mean for myself, of course.
And also the whole routine.
Yeah, you had to do your job. You had to keep going or else you were let go. They did, you know, I think there wasn't, if you were fired, the union didn't seem to, they realized that you weren't qualified for the job, so they didn't fight for you very much. But pressure, I think you put pressure on yourself. I did. So I would do a good job so that no one would be injured when I was working, you know, at my job, which they could have been quite seriously injured. And everybody worked, but everybody really felt good that they had accomplished a day's work. I feel sometimes nowadays that people don't work to their full capacity, and I feel that a lot of people are unhappy because they're not self-satisfying themselves. I really do. When I really, really think about it, I think the gypo camps that I worked in mainly were non-unionized. Mm-hmm. But now Copper Canyon was a union camp. I can't ever remember. I know I was in the union, so I must have just carried on. Because I was in the union when I worked in the sawmill, but then there was a lapse of 2 or 3 years before I went back into Copper Canyon. And I can't even remember paying any dues.
Maybe
I was just a dumb punk and they didn't bother with me.
They might have had checkoff by then too, actually, so that it would come right off your paycheck.
It's possible. I don't even remember us discussing the union, because when they asked me to go back, I went back on my own terms almost. I told them, you know, I didn't really want to work anymore at that, and they just begged me to go, so I just went. And I don't remember anymore, but I must have had to. But maybe in those days, a girl, they didn't think of anything about it.
Did they beg you to go because you were really a skilled person?
I guess so. He came right to the house because I was sitting on the back step and I'd hung up my boots, as you call it, and I wasn't going to go working in the woods anymore. Why? I don't know, because I really liked it, but I guess I got fed up with it because it was long days. It was really long days. And they'd pick me up in the morning and they'd save me a seat. I had to sit in the middle sort of a seat because I was one of the last ones to be picked up with a crummy that came from Ladysmith toward Chemainus, and we'd have to get on the speeder and go way to heck and gone up in the woods. And it was a long day. And then you'd come home at night, and it was maybe 12, 13-hour day. Well, you didn't get paid for that traveling time. And I just didn't want to do that anymore, I guess.
Did you You talked a little bit earlier about how your friends were really shocked that you
yeah.
were. Was that difficult for you? Did people tend to ostracize you? Because you
were no, I never let that happen, ever. I'm not that kind of a person.
How did you fight it?
I just never paid any attention to it. I just didn't let that. I never ever thought, give a hoot what people could think about me. If they like me, they like me. If they don't like me, well, it doesn't matter. And I've always been like that and still am now. And I think it's a good way to be.
Right. I'm sure that helped a lot when you were...
Oh, sure. Sure, well, you see, when those other two girls came into the woods, that sort of made it, you know, well, at least there's some other females up there. But when I went to working for Copper Canyon and there wasn't any girls in the woods at all, just me, I guess they used to think about it, but I heard more stories about what happened to them in their offices, and I knew what happened to me, because nothing happened to me. Nothing. And even when I started working there and those other two girls, I don't think they would have come if I hadn't have gone first. Because there's lots of people who follow, but there's not very many that say, well, I'm going to do that. And especially something like that that was... I really don't know of too many other people that did. I know that woman that I told you about, she worked... I think she was a truck driver. But I don't know very many other girls that ever did anything. Maybe in their dad's little logging camp they might have. I went cooking too. Not cooking. I quit. I was always quitting. And I quit and I went working up at Yubo in a cookhouse. And I lasted there 3 months. Absolutely hated every minute of it. Because those kind of guys were sawmill guys again. I had a lot of funny episodes up there, let me tell you.
Oh, tell me about some of them.
Well, it was the first, when I first got into there, the cook was left-handed, and I myself am left-handed too, but anyway, they had this huge stove, and he just flapped these flapjacks all over the stove with his left hand, and he just got that all full, and he went flapped them all over with a spatula. Oh, it was the funniest sight I ever saw, because I had never seen a big camp. It was a big camp, and I had to pack all these dishes around. Oh, dear. I didn't like it very much. And they used to keep a crock behind the stove, and all the fermented fruit juice would go in there, you see, and then they'd be drinking this all day long. And they'd be high, and they'd be slicing the... You never saw such a sight in your life. And we didn't have a dishwasher, electric one. We had an old man with one leg, and the other leg was a wooden one. And he'd get so mad at us girls if we didn't have the dishes there right on a dot. And the first day I got there again, I was standing there. I guess I was dressed kind of nice. I don't know. Anyway, I guess there was about four girls there and myself. They opened the door, and these guys came in. Talk about a herd of cattle coming into the feed trough. These men just came in like you wouldn't. I was astonished. I only worked there 3 months. And one night, we had an upstairs over top of, I don't know what was underneath, but we had rooms up there, nice bath and everything. And this guy got drunk, and he came up to our rooms. And, oh, I was so frightened. And I think that's why I quit. I wasn't going to have anything like that happen. But I went to a party. We used to go up the lake to these dances on these boats, camp something or another, I can't remember. Dance all night, come home, work all day, and I'd go deaf and lose my voice. But I still worked, did my job. But it was exhausting.
Were there women working in that mill at all?
No.
Were there any women working in the mills around Lake Cowichan?
Not that I know of, no. Yeah. There was only us three, I think there was four of us working in Shemana's mill. As far as I know, that's the only girls working in the mill. I think those girls kept on working at the mill. I can't remember what happened. I never had anything more to do with those, the mill after I left. Didn't have time by the time you put in that long of a day. And I think you work 6 days a week, too. Yeah. You go to dance on Saturday night, and you come home on Sunday. And not only that, after that forest fire, we went on early shift. Have you heard of early shift when you go out at... On early shift, you get up about 3:30 in the morning and go to work and get home just, I guess it's just after lunch, and it's very, very hot, but they only let you work, we maybe worked 2 weeks at that, and then they shut everything down because people got so tired there was more to be liable to be accidents. They're on early shift right now, as a matter of fact, around here.
Why do they do that? Because of the heat?
Yeah. Unless you've been up in the woods, away up in the mountains, at this time of the year, nobody realizes what it's like. It's really frightening. It's just cracking. It's just snapping the twigs and everything. The heat, it's just drying out. And the least thing, a line rubbing on a rock can cause a spark and set the whole forest on fire. It's really very dangerous.
Yeah, Is that how forest fires begin?
No, sometimes, but often, like after a long heat spell like this, we'll have an electrical storm, and that's what starts them. And it's really sad. Yeah.
The devastation?
Oh, yeah. The little animals and everything, you know, it's really terrible because then their habitat is gone, I guess that's how you say, for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. In terms of devastation, did you feel when you were working in the woods and watching the whole logging operation that the forest in some ways was getting destroyed?
Oh, yes. And now, fortunately, we used to leave, as much timber almost as we took out was left behind because it's terrible. It was really, really terrible. And no reforestation at that time. I don't know. It's really bad. It's really a shame. Because those trees should have been really big by now. And look at the people it would have employed planting little trees. When I worked in Copper Canyon, it was the best logging I had seen because the Chippewa outfits get the edges, they don't get the good stuff. But in Copper Canyon, we logged, some of the trees were, I'm quite a tall person, and they were way, way bigger than me when I laid on the stumps. Just fantastic, straight up. It was almost, have you ever been to Cathedral Grove? That kind of stuff. Almost, it gave, I guess I'm a sentimental person underneath, but it gave me the feeling of what it must have been like here when the Indians lived here. How beautiful this Vancouver Island must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really was very thrilling for me.
So is that like virgin timber?
That would be virgin timber. Yeah, I guess I was lucky to see it. I was.
Do you know how much it sold for on the market?
No idea.
What were your wages?
About $5 a day I was making, mm-hmm. which was fairly good in those days.
Yeah, how does that compare to other kinds of jobs?
I think when I was working there,
yeah, at that time.
I think some of the men were making the same as I, and then the next guy up was making about $7 a day. That's about it. $10 a day would be good.
How would that compare to other job sectors? Like
good.
Clerical work?
It's good.
A lot higher?
I think it was very good.
Can we talk a bit about your upbringing?
Okay. I always had the feeling that my father, I was born a girl first, of course, and I have a younger brother, but my father always wanted a son, is the feeling. So as I was growing up, I guess he just treated me like a son, and he thought I could do anything, so I guess I could. And one day, we were clearing this land, and it was really, really, well, the interviewer sees what kind of land around here, and in those days, we didn't have power machinery, we just had a horse, and we had an old thing called a stump puller, which I used to work on, too. But anyway, he used to blast a lot, and there was this big thing he'd blast, and there was a great big hole under this huge tree that he had blasted out. And he said to me, take this pry, and the pry was about a 12-foot cedar rail, like the split railing fences that you see, or the snake rail fences. And he had it all fixed up, and I was to go on the end of this pry and hang on it and I was supposed to pry the stump up while he was going to do something. I guess I don't know what he's going to do under there. So I said, okay. So I got out on this thing, and he did something, and the pry slipped, and it clipped me under the chin, and I landed in this great big hole, and I thought I was killed. And he looks over the hole down at me, and he said to me, what are you doing down there? And of course, I had to laugh, because he was really mad, and I was laying down there, I thought I was dead.
Do you think that the way that your father treated you, which was to teach you skills that and allow you to do things that most girls didn't do, really helped you to develop a sense of independence, and then later helped you go into an area where most women wouldn't?
It must have. At that time, I never thought about it because that's how I was brought up. But when I stop and think about it now, yes, because none of my friends did things like that. You know, their fathers, they did the dishes and they did swept the steps and things like that. And I had to go out and help them. And I used to have my own, a little crosscut, about a 6 foot crosscut saw, smaller than his. He used to use a great big one, and he'd saw part of the block, and then I would finish it off. Well, I mean, I didn't know very many girls that could swing a crosscut saw. Mind, it's a nice thing to do. It's really nice to get that rhythm. And I had my own sledgehammer. He used to split the, because we used wood in those days, you know. And he taught me to drive the truck, and I could drive back up through those stumps, just marvelous. And none of my friends did that kind of work. And maybe that's why I enjoyed the work I went into. I had no, even in my later years, as I was growing up, my husband was remodeling houses, and they'd go off and leave me with a crew of about 10 guys to look after while I was, looking after all these guys to do the work. And then as the years went by, I also helped my husband build houses. That's mm-hmm. a kind, helped yeah. him do all that kind of work. And I like it. I've always liked it.
You must have been in pretty good physical shape then.
Yeah, I was quite strong. Mm-hmm. I have to go to the chiropractor now quite often, though, and get things jarred into place again, but you just did it. You never thought about it.